This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Cody and Gold here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Logan Weber filling in for Cody and Alex here on this December 30th day. JT Noah alongside producing this morning's program with you guys from 10 to 2 o'clock today. And I'm going to be completely honest. There's not a lot to talk about Chiefs-wise anymore. We talked a lot about it yesterday. A little bit about the game, more so about the offseason stuff, because I feel like that's where the majority of where our brains are going right now. There's going to continue to be offseason conversation during today's show as well, but maybe more so just like the league as a whole a little bit. A lot of NFL-related conversation. But let's begin with things that are specifically narrowed to the Kansas City Chiefs. Our text line, 913-586-7965 is our number. And looking with yesterday's game in mind, right? Monday Night Football, Rams against the Falcons. This game did not go at least the way that I expected it to. I was not anticipating the Rams winning this football game. The Falcons winning this football game. Definitely didn't expect Atlanta to go up 21-0 in this one. The Rams came storming back, but sort of a too little too late situation as they ended up just needing a field goal in the fourth quarter. I mean, the Rams outscored the Falcons 24-6 in the second half and lost this football game. But to be completely honest, not the worst thing in the world to happen to the Kansas City Chiefs. Because what does that do? Well, Atlanta's win puts the Falcons solidly at 7-9 right now. Which means even if they were to lose this week and the Chiefs were to lose this week, both teams are 7-10. The Chiefs are more or less locked in to a top 10 pick now. They're still sitting at number 9, the Bengals at 10, the Saints at number 8. The Saints are 6-10 right now. So if for some completely unknown reason the Saints were able to beat the Falcons in Atlanta this weekend and the Chiefs lose to the Raiders, which I don't see as entirely plausible, the Chiefs could go and get the 8th overall pick in this draft. Regardless, and this is somewhat of a conversation that we had yesterday on the show with Nathan Williams, who was our producer yesterday. Where does this team need to go position-wise with the 9th overall pick? And maybe more importantly, where should they avoid in order to get the most bang for their buck, right? I mean, value is a huge factor in a top 10 pick. The last thing that I think this Chiefs team need, and I said as much yesterday, and JT, I'm curious to get, you know, your thoughts on the perspective here. I think the Chiefs could go defensive lineman, whether that be tackle or an edge rusher. I think this team could certainly go tight end. I know the Sadiq kid out of Oregon is a tremendous talent. I don't know if a top 10 pick is where you should go with that. I would even be like, okay, if you want to go get Carnell Tate at nine, I still have some level of belief in who Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy are as players. They're just young guys. And I feel like we're asking too much too quickly a little bit in certain situations. But in my view, the last position that this Chiefs team needs to go after with a top 10 pick is the running back spot. I'm not saying that Jeremiah Love is not a great player, because I absolutely believe he is. I think he is a tremendous talent. But using a top 10 pick on a running back, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. Even if it is an incredibly talented player and somebody who goes out and does great things on the football field, more often than not, having a great running back on your roster does not all of a sudden make you into a Super Bowl contender. And people are going to be like, well, the Eagles did it last year with Saquon Barkley. Did they draft Saquon Barkley? No, they didn't. The Giants did. And what did the Giants get for it? Absolutely nothing. I mean, when is the last time that a team took a running back in the first round, and not only that running back saw success, but that team won a Super Bowl or Super Bowls? I mean, when's the last time it happened? Because I know people are going to say, oh, well, the Chiefs drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round and they won Super Bowls. Okay, he never had a 1,000-yard season. I'm saying a running back who had a great career, great individual seasons, 1,000 yards, double-digit touchdowns, those sorts of things, you know, 1,500, 1,600, 1,700 all-purpose yards, and the team saw extreme levels of success. There's a reason why the running back position is one of the lowest valued in sports. It's because it has an extremely short shelf life for a lot of these players, and because it doesn't really affect the bottom line of the overall team success. Somebody in the text line, it's my boy Mustard. Shout out to our boy Jacob Mustard, who's in the text line. He's Drake the Schedule May MVP. Stop it. He was arguing with us in the text line yesterday. Says Drake May should be the MVP. He's Patriots homer. He's trying to throw out New England propaganda.
I mean, I think
propaganda.
Drake May last night won it without playing.
You think Drake May won the MVP last night?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Why?
Matthew Stafford is the MVP of this football league.
No. After last night, you could say Drake May could have it.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Even after last night, no.
Okay. All right. But going off of yours, I think you have to go edge rusher. You see something with this defense that is not good, and that is you do not get pressure on the quarterback. And to cause turnovers, which guess what? The defense hasn't done this season. You have to get pressure on the quarterback, make the quarterback feel uncomfortable. And Charles Omenihu will not be back on this team. You won't have an edge rusher to be on the other side of George Karlaftis. So I think you go out, get an edge rusher. I think there is plenty of running backs in the second or third round where you still can find great value at and be very productive with that running back. You just don't need to go get Jeremiah Love because of the name and that he's from Missouri.
Yeah, exactly. And listen, Mustard's in the text line. He brings up the name Sony Michel. Sony Michel was a first-round pick. My point is, even Sony Michel did not have tremendous individual success. His best year in the league was his rookie year. He had 931 yards on the ground and 6 rushing touchdowns. I'm talking about a guy who is an absolute bona fide Pro Bowl, all pro caliber running back. James White had 5 rushing touchdowns that year for the Patriots. You know, I'm just looking at it from, and Sony Michel was great in the playoffs. That I will absolutely put forward. He was phenomenal in that playoff run. 336 yards rushing, 6 rushing touchdowns. He was awesome in the postseason. But listen, I don't think drafting a running back in the first round makes sense. This team's already done it. And I understand they did it at 32 and not at number 9 with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And they obviously missed out because they could have drafted Jonathan Taylor instead just a few picks after that. He was still on the board. But this team has needs in other places that are just as big as the needs that they have at running back. And I agree with you, JT, that it has to be on the defensive line. And most of our text line says the same thing, right? And 816, the Chiefs need a disruptor on the defensive line more than anything. A top 10 pick is where you get those types of guys. And he's exactly right. I mean, the hit rate on interior defensive linemen and edge rushers in the first round of the draft, comparatively speaking to day 2 or day 3, is infinitely higher. The hit rate on running backs really kind of fluctuates. It is a very hit or miss position group in a lot of ways, right? I mean, the Chiefs drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round, and the Colts drafted Jonathan Taylor in the second round, and one of those guys was a huge boom and one was a huge bust. So I think that right there goes to show a little bit of what I'm talking about. I deviate from you a little bit. I don't disagree that this team needs help on the edge. And I'll say that I think this is a pretty decent draft class for edge rushers. Absolutely. I think you could still get an impact edge rusher in round 2 or round 3, because I really think this team needs one quality edge rusher to play opposite of George Karlaftis. One who's a little bit more of a speed rusher type, if that makes any sense, right? George Karlaftis, as a player, he needs the benefit of somebody with elite athleticism playing opposite him. Because Karlaftis is not a guy who is going to get tremendous bend off the edge, right? He's not going to beat people with his quickness or with an outstanding first step. George Karlaftis is a power rusher. He's going to get hands-on. He's going to do rip moves and swim moves, those sorts of things, right? He's an effort guy. That's who Karlaftis is. Karlaftis is the sort of guy that you have out there. He's strong. He's physical. He goes absolutely bleep to the wall every single play. But if you can get somebody on the other side of him who is that kind of athlete, who has tremendous bend, who has an outstanding, very, quick first step, who can beat tackles off the ball and force pressure from the blind side to a quarterback, force them have to roll out right, allows Karlaftis to kind of do what he does best in those situations. Not to mention less double team opportunities for Karlaftis, less double team opportunities for Chris Jones. For me, I would love to see this team take an interior defensive lineman. I'd love to see this team in the first round, if you can drop down, if Peter Woods falls to you at number 8 or number 9 or number 10, depending on where this team is picking, and you can pair a Peter Woods with Chris Jones on the inside of your defensive line, you've got Karlaftis at one edge, and you look around, like, what about like JT Lathan from Alabama? He's a guy that I see being like an early to mid second round pick in this draft class, because there's a little bit of an injury history with him. We know the Chiefs have had a ton of success with guys that have injury concerns from their college days, and they end up panning out really, really big with this Chiefs team. That's sort of what I see happening. What I would like to see happen. But I would not be against taking the Bane kid from Miami or the Bailey kid from Texas Tech. I love those. I love those sorts of ideas as well. I just think the interior, the defensive tackle position, would be a great fit for this Chiefs team in the first round, because that, again, that's another position group where defensive tackle outside of the first or second round gets pretty sparse, and there's not a ton of those guys that really become big hits in the National Football League.
Yeah, I totally agree. I love Bane. I was talking to you in the bullpen about how I think Bane would be a solid stud for this team. We'll see. Interior, I get. I just think edge rushers are so, which I guess deviates from what I say, but it's hit or miss. That's why I think people are so hesitant on taking an edge rusher. But I think getting an edge just helps with getting the pressure off of Chris Jones. Like, if you're going to double team Chris, okay, now you got two solid edge rushers who are going to beat the tackles. Now what are you going to do? You're going to have to chip one of them. So I think that's why you go with an edge rusher. But if you go interior, I'm fine. You just got to go defensive front, I think. You have to go get someone on the front seven that's going to cause havoc on this on the opponent's quarterback.
I'm completely in agreement with you. You know, just looking at the text line here a little bit. Tell Mustard that Mike said get to work. All right, you heard him. You heard him. Jamal Charles was a fourth-round pick, and Priest Holmes was undrafted. Do not draft a running back in the top 10. Somebody said, was James Cook drafted in the first round?
Has Buffalo been to?
I think he was a second rounder, actually.
Has Buffalo been to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, he was a second rounder out of Georgia. Fair point, right? People are trying to throw some names around. Emmett Smith. If that's the example from 30 years ago.
That's a ways back there.
That's what I'm saying. You know, another person brings out Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson, phenomenal football player. Did the Vikings ever see any real semblance of team success, right? That's the question that I'm raising. I mean, Adrian Peterson, maybe the best running back in my lifetime in the National Football League. Maybe I'm going too far for saying that, but I'm 27, 28 years old. I was 9 right around that time when he got drafted. He's the best running back that I have individually seen with my two eyes. In 15 years in the National Football League, as good as he was, 15 seasons, he was a 7-time Pro Bowler, a 4-time All-Pro. He led the league in rushing 3 times. He led the league in rushing touchdowns 2 times. In all that time, 15 seasons in this league, he made the playoffs 4 times. He won 1 playoff game. So the team success doesn't go. It's not there. And frankly, that team success was that 09 year where they had a really good regular season. They got to that NFC Championship game in 09 and lost with Brett Favre at quarterback.
Against the Saints, right?
Against the Saints.
Where he threw that horrible interception. But the one I was going to go with, and it was wrong, was Derrick Henry. He's a second-round pick because Derrick Henry had success with Tennessee. Obviously, he's having really good success with Baltimore, but he was picked 45th overall, so he's not even a first-round draft pick.
Yeah, I just want to poke around here, right? First-round picks from running backs in the NFL, just historically, first-round picks. Just in recent memory, right, 2023, Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs. Those two are incredible talents, and the jury is certainly still out on those two guys.
Right, right. You would also say that I would say, especially for Detroit, their offense is more than just the running back.
Correct. Not even just Jahmyr Gibbs, right? I mean, they got 2 running backs with he and David Montgomery, and then you look at Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams, and hey, that Isaac Tesla kid, I think, got a chance to be a pretty darn good player. They got Sam Laporta. They have talent and weapons all over that offense. Bijan Robinson is the key to that Falcons offense. Never made the playoffs with him, right? In 2-3 seasons now, but you know, no first round picks in 2022. 2021, you had Najee Harris and Travis Etienne. Neither of those guys have seen any real team success. Clyde Edwards-Helaire in 2020. Josh Jacobs in 2019, great player.
Great, he's been good.
But the Raiders never saw any team success.
Right. Yeah,
and now
sure,
he's on his second team,
yeah,
right?
That's great.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, not even the only opportunity he's got for team success is not even with the team that drafted him. The same thing goes with Saquon Barkley in 2018. He was the 2nd overall pick. No team success with the New York Giants. He goes off to Philadelphia. He does his thing because for some of these running backs, they see their team success in their second their second contract with a different team.
Was CMC a first-round pick?
Because, he was the eighth overall pick in 2017.
What? Panthers didn't see success until they went to the 49ers.
Exactly. They'd already been to their Super Bowl before CMC arrived. They had no team success. He goes to San Francisco, and that's where things popped off for him. Really, is Leonard Fournette the last one? 2017, he was the fourth overall pick. He was the first back taken in that draft, not Christian McCaffrey.
That's crazy. With Jacksonville.
Yeah, and they went to that AFC Championship game.
And, I mean, he kind of carried that offense, if you're going to...
Yeah,
I mean,
that 2017 season,
right? Blake Bortles, like, we're not going to go, oh, yeah, we remember Blake Bortles. We remember Leonard Fournette and that defense with Jalen Ramsey. So, yeah, I guess you could say Leonard Fournette would be the last one.
He's maybe the last one.
And he's not even in the league no more.
No, that team got to an AFC Championship game and got boat raced, and then it was over.
I don't know if they got boat raced, but they did lose and blew a game to the Patriots. I thought they had it in, they were going to win, and then they blew it, but yeah.
24-20. Okay, so they didn't get blown out. I apologize. But
I mean, that doesn't really matter, right?
Again, the point still stands. You know, somebody says, thankfully, you're not the general manager. Sure, man.
Hey, you want to talk about how good of a general manager he is? Go to look at his franchise team.
Somebody said, those teams stink. Yeah.
Well, that's the point here, folks.
Running backs aren't going to suddenly change your roster.
And remember,
unless we forget, we've been complaining all year about Andy Reid not running the football enough. Take a running back in the top 10 to do what?
People actually thought the Lions were crazy for taking Jahmyr Gibbs in the first round. I mean, everyone was like, why are they taking Jahmyr Gibbs in the first round? And you can say what you want about how good Jahmyr Gibbs is, but the thing about that is Jahmyr Gibbs is a two-headed horse when it comes to the running back room. They still have Montgomery. They have all that offense. So I get where people are coming from. Obviously, the verdict is not out on Jeanty yet, who was drafted, obviously, in the first round. But, I mean, he's with the Raiders. If we know anything, they're not going to do anything well with success as a Raider.
I'm not quite seeing it at the same level that.
But I will say, I will say this though, and maybe you disagree with the slogan. I also think it depends on where you get drafted to.
Yeah, it's fair. I mean, absolutely right.
So, like, I get it. We're talking about how Saquon didn't have success with the Giants, and how Josh Jacobs didn't have success with the Raiders. But when have they had? When have the Raiders or Giants had success with any of their draft picks? Like we go back to their first round. Okay, their first round draft pick this year was Jackson Dart. Guess what? He's been in concussion protocol more times than he should be. They took Neighbors last year. He tore his ACL. Obviously, injuries happen. But like when you look at these teams that have taken running backs in the first round, they're usually bad teams with bad organizations. The Chiefs, I get, they're a good team, but I also think it would still matter where you go because would Andy Reid use the running back in the right way? We thought Breshard Smith was actually a really good pick in the seventh round, and yet we haven't seen him to even know what he's about. We don't even know if Royals is alive. Is he MIA? I mean, is he still around? I don't know. We have no idea what he's about.
Oh, somebody in the text line, this is kind of funny. They said, pass happy Andy Reid drafting a running back in the first round is like someone who can't swim putting a pool in their backyard. That's kind of funny. I like that.
That's a good one, actually.
Travion Henderson this year. Travion Henderson wasn't a first-round pick.
No, I thought he was second round.
He is a second rounder. Again, I feel like that argument just continues to kind of compound
on
itself.
That proves my point more about how you take a defensive line first round, then you go running back second or third round. Because more times than not, the players that hit as a running back are in the second or third round.
Yeah, Von Miller won a Super Bowl by himself. Yeah, I'm not sure there's a Von Miller in this draft necessarily, but
did Aaron? Okay, we want
Aaron Donald.
Aaron Donald. Let's be real here, folks. Let's go get us an Aaron Donald.
Yeah, God. That'd be fun. That'd be fun. Peter Woods, I think, can be an outstanding football player. I mean, he's a big body dude. He's 6'5", 320. He's got incredible first step and quickness off the ball, long arms. I really like him as a prospect.
I would love a player like Verse for the Rams. That
yeah.
Verse kid is, I get it. I haven't watched many Rams games, but what he was doing last night, and I knew he was doing well this season, but last night he blocked that kick, picked it up on one hop. I'm like, yo, okay. And did you see him throw up the peace sign to the Falcons as he was running? I was like, that's great. That's great.
All in a losing effort in hindsight. Doesn't look great for him.
But it's kind of funny how they fired their special teams coach this week, and then their special teams scored a touchdown.
Yeah. Trade for Breece Hall before the draft and take a defensive stud. Well, they won't have to trade for Breece Hall. Breece Hall is going to be an unrestricted free agent.
Did you want him to get Breece Hall in the trade deadline?
No.
Okay.
Not really. You know, at first I was like, yeah, let's do it. Right. When the rumors first started and then watching how the next few weeks unfolded, it was sort of like, it's not going to change anything. Andy doesn't really have a huge desire to run the football. So, and maybe that's an unfair critique, right? Because when he first arrived in Kansas City and he had Jamal Charles, you know, or LeSean McCoy, there was certainly a willingness to run the football. When Kareem Hunt was here during his first tenure, right, his rookie year when he led the league in rushing. And, man, if you want to see the best running back that Mahomes has ever had in his tenure with the Chiefs, just watch, like, the first half of that 2018 season.
With Kareem Hunt?
He was the top five running back in football.
Yeah.
At the time that everything unraveled off the field.
Right.
I went back because that's where we're at now with how poorly this team is playing.
We went back and watched highlights,
Go back and watch highlights to make yourself feel better.
Yeah.
I went back and watched the regular season highlights from 2018, Mahomes' rookie year. Holy. Kareem Hunt was untackleable. He was ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And when all that stuff broke out off the field, everyone blamed the Chiefs for it, and I'm like, the Chiefs did nothing wrong. They held up to their standards, and ever since then, they haven't found a running back.
Right.
Like, it's just been nonstop, we can't find a running back.
Yeah, I mean, in that season, that 2018 year, through the first 11 games before everything happened and he was ultimately released from the team, in 11 games, he had over 1,200 yards all-purpose and 14 touchdowns in 11 games. I mean, he was pacing for a 2,000-yard all-purpose season and over 20 total touchdowns. That's where Kareem Hunt was at before everything ultimately happened. He was that good after having 1,300 yards as a rookie on 270 carries. So, again, I think that maybe there is still a willingness from Andy Reid to run the ball and establish the ground game with a running back of quality. And I still think the Chiefs can find that in the second or third round of this draft. Lest we forget, Kareem Hunt himself was a third round draft pick.
Oh yeah, I thought he was a fourth, but yeah, I know he was a third or fourth. He was a mid round pick.
For some reason, I thought he was a third, but he might've been a fourth round pick.
And even Isaiah Pacheco, when he was productive his first year,
third round,
even when Isaiah Pacheco was productive, remember he's a seventh round pick.
Right. You can find guys. And somebody in the text line brought it up, and I brought his name up yesterday. And then some people were clowning me in the text line, and that's understandable. We all have our opinions. JT, I urge you, watch some Emmett Johnson tape from Nebraska, because I think he is a tremendous fit for this offense.
Okay.
He's about 5'11", 205 pounds, so he doesn't have outstanding size, but he's certainly not he's small back either. He's a little bit more beefy than like a Breshard Smith is. Ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. He can run between the tackles. He can get outside. He's got great speed. Comes from a zone blocking West Coast offense scheme where you have to read your blocks in front of you, be a little bit patient in the backfield, take cutback lanes if they're available. I really like how Emmett Johnson could potentially fit in this offense, along with like a Nick Singleton from Penn State. Both of those guys are late second into that third round range that I think could become impact day one starters for this Chiefs team this year. That's what I look at.
The running back I want isn't in the draft this year, but I'm
yeah,
a homer.
We know you're a homer. Yeah. Somebody in the text line said that yesterday too. It's like, draft Ahmad Hardy in the third round. And it's
like, you can't even
he's a sophomore.
Yeah, he's a sophomore.
He's a true sophomore. He's not even draft eligible yet.
Nope.
You know, and that's a bit confusing. It can't
right,
be
but,
right.
But I actually love, I like Singleton, Singletary from Penn State. And like you said, those guys are going to be mid-round picks. It's going to be interesting to see what they do. But I think they have to understand they have to go with a running back before the sixth or seventh round pick. You can't just keep doing this. every year. Hey, we're going to take a running back, but guess what? It's the seventh round. You can't complain with us now.
913-586-7965 is our number. How about some college football playoff conversation, all right? We got one quarterfinal game tomorrow. We got three more on Thursday. Let's break them down. Let's decide who we think is ultimately going to come away with a college football playoff national championship trophy here in just a few short weeks. This is Cody and Gold here on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber filling in for the guys along with JT Noah producing here on 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
All right, folks, what do we make of the college football playoff? Four quarterfinal games coming up this week, starting tomorrow with a single game. Ohio State, Miami, in the Cotton Bowl down in Arlington. Right now, they've got Ohio State at around a 9.5-point favorite in this game. It's going to be a 6:30 kickoff on ESPN. I've got Ohio State winning this football game. Frankly, I didn't really expect Miami to beat A&M, especially not the way that they did it. A low scoring 10-3 slugfest that game was.
So you thought it would be a high scoring fly?
I mean, maybe not a high scoring game, but higher than that. You know,
I thought it was sloppy football.
Like, yeah, I thought it would be, you know, somewhere in the vein of like if it was a Miami win, it was going to be like a 24-21 or a 27-24 type of win. I didn't expect 10-3. I didn't expect the Miami defense to make Marcel Reed look so obscenely pedestrian in that football game, as good as he's been all year. That's not what I expected to see. What it tells me is that this game on Saturday is going to be a low-scoring slugfest of a football game. Because Ohio State's defense is, in my view, the best in college football.
Really? Okay.
I still think Ohio State's the best team in college football.
I don't.
But I stand by that.
Okay.
So
I'm glad you have opinions.
That's a conversation we'll bring up with who we ultimately think wins this whole thing and whatever else.
If I don't know if you're a betting man, but I know Gold is. Alex Gold, who actually hosts the show usually, is. Mm-hmm. I've actually decided to take most of these games halftime spread and tell that the team that has played last week to cover the spread at half, because I think the teams that have had 2 weeks off are going to start slow. I do think most of the teams Ohio State, Indiana, and Georgia will win, but I think they're going to start slow because of being off. I mean, you look at the NFL, this always happens. Now you're taking it to college. I think it's going to have a little bit of rust in the first half, and I think majority of the teams that played last week will cover the first half times the halftime spread. I do think most teams will pull away. The only game that I think could have quote unquote upset watch on it, and that would be the Texas Tech Oregon game. Now, obviously, Vegas has Oregon as a favorite, so I don't know if it's quote unquote an upset, but seeding wise, it would be an upset. I still think Texas Tech wins that game, but we'll see. Ohio State Miami is interesting to me, though, because I think I like Ohio State a lot in this game, because if you go by position, I think Ohio State has Miami beat at every position, but maybe defensive line, and that's about it. I would take Ryan Day over
Mario Cristobal.
Right. So, and obviously I would take Julian Sand over
Carson Beck.
Carson Beck, just because Beck is so loose with the football. So yeah. I have Ohio State winning this game by 10 or more points.
Okay. All right. Right now the spread is at -9.5. So you're taking Ohio State to cover?
I would take Ohio State to cover. But like I said, Miami's covering that first half spread. I don't know what the first half spread is.
Take that under consideration. See what happens. And then you get into the New Year's Day games, 3 college football playoff quarterfinals starting at 11 o'clock. You've got Oregon, Texas Tech. I love this Texas Tech team.
So good. So fun to watch.
I absolutely do. I still have Oregon winning this football game.
Yeah, Oregon's the one matchup if you were a Texas Tech fan, you didn't want.
I mean, their front seven is so good. But I guess you could say the weakness, and there's not much of a weakness with this Texas Tech team. They've been so good all year long. Maybe their biggest weakness, though, is probably their secondary. And Oregon's going to sling it, man. Dante Moore is going to let that thing fly. The guy is a potential top 5 pick for a reason. And Oregon has run the gauntlet of the Big Ten and come out nearly unscathed, right? I mean, they beat Penn State in Happy Valley back when they were still the number 3 team in the country before everything ultimately collapsed.
Penn State collapsed.
Yeah, with James Franklin. And then, you know, they lose by 10 in a narrow game against Indiana, which has just looked like a better and better loss all year.
I would say, though, it kind of also you could say is one of a bad loss because they lost at home. And Oregon has always said, oh, we're a home field advantage team, and they lost at home. But like you said, Indiana's the one seed. They haven't lost a single game all year, so it hasn't really turned out to be that bad. My question about Texas Tech, though, Logan, is this. If they get down, how will they respond? They haven't had much, I won't say competition because they beat BYU, but they handled BYU so well that there wasn't much of a competition to that game. They haven't played anyone where you're like, okay, you're on your edge of your seat. How are we going to handle crunch time?
Yeah.
That's my only question with Texas Tech.
And maybe that's why I'm leaning towards Oregon, is because they went through a Big Ten schedule versus Texas Tech in the Big 12. You know, I don't know. There's something about Oregon, Dante Moore in an environment like this. I just sort of lean Oregon in this football game. You then get to the 3 o'clock game, which is Alabama and Indiana. I'm going to say something.
I swear if it's something I think you're going to say, I'm going to be actually kind of shocked with you.
I'm going to say something, all right? I've got a four-leg parlay with these college football quarterfinal games.
Me too.
Okay, I've got Ohio State money line over Miami. I've got Oregon money line over Texas Tech. Third on the list, Alabama money line against Indiana.
What? I knew what you were going to do, and I'm still shocked. No, no, no. Bad, 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 Logan. My four-leg parlay, I put it in a while ago. I think the lines have moved a little bit. I did an alternate spread with Texas Tech. I got them at 7.5, plus 7.5, because I don't think Texas Tech's losing by more than a touchdown. Ohio State, I got them when they were at 6.5. So I got them at 6.5. Indiana, I got at 4.5. In Georgia, I got 6.5. That is the four leg. $6 turns into $38.
Yeah, I've got mine's $5 for $47.
Okay. I don't think Alabama's going to win. Listen, Alabama, name me a game where you felt they were, I would say, the better team in the last month besides, I guess you could say, against Oklahoma, which I didn't even think they were the better team. It felt like Oklahoma choked that game away. But in the last month, name a game where you felt Alabama was the better team.
I mean, fair point that you raise.
Okay.
I mean, they came into the college football playoff sputtering a little bit, right? Outside of blowing out Eastern Illinois.
Yeah.
They didn't look great against Auburn.
Did you think they should have been in? Were you one of the people that said, yes, oh, they should be in even if they lost? Okay.
Yes. Even though they lost in the SEC championship game, yes, they deserve to get in.
Okay.
Yeah. If for no other reason than to keep Notre Dame out.
Oh, okay.
I digress.
Yeah, you don't like Notre Dame, I see.
I do not.
Okay.
But, you know, to sort of counter your argument of you felt like Ohio or Oklahoma kind of choked that first round game, I disagree. It felt to me like Alabama found something. Alabama sort of discovered their identity a little bit. And when they did, you know, they went down 17-0, right? Their fourth drive of the football game, they've gotten nothing going. I actually put money down on Alabama to score a touchdown on their fourth drive of the game as that one was getting started. And they marched right down the field and scored. And it just seemed like they found something that clicked a little bit. That offensive line for Alabama that had struggled so mightily against Auburn and in that SEC championship game really, I think, found themselves a little bit starting in that second quarter, and they took control of that football game, in my opinion.
Yeah, they did.
17 unanswered, including the pick six, right? That just sort of changed the whole trajectory of the game. And in the second half, they just went out and buried them. You know, they go out and score 10 in the third quarter to go up 2 scores. And then from there, it was just a little bit too little too late for Oklahoma. I think it's less about Oklahoma choked versus I think Alabama, for the first time, since they beat Georgia in Athens, right?
Yeah.
Because when they beat Georgia in Athens, you're like, okay, here we go. They have it. Can they sustain it? And they couldn't at the time. It was like it was this flash in the pan. It was lightning in a bottle that they had, and it was gone as quickly as they had gotten it. I think they found that a little bit more. But I mean, this is an Oklahoma defense that's really, really good.
Oh, well, yeah.
With Brett Venables, right. And you put 34 on him.
You put 27.
27 on him with the pick six.
But I will say this. The reason I say Oklahoma gave it to him, when they were up 17-7, Oklahoma had a wide open wide receiver that would have been a touchdown that Mateer missed. Then you have a drop punt snap that leads to 7. You had a pick six lead to 7. So, yes, I think they found something with their offense, but if Oklahoma doesn't allow 14 free points to them on their own offense for Oklahoma, I think it's a whole different game. The thing is if Bama gets a lead, say 10 points, that's when Indiana's going to feel the pressure because Indiana, yes, they've played Ohio State. They beat Ohio State. But Alabama's defense is what they lean on. They're not an offensive team this year. They're a defensive team. And if they can just go back and know what you're about to do because you're down points, they're going to get after Mendoza. And I think that's going to be a problem. So I think it's in a way where I could see Alabama winning. I just don't know if the recipe's there for it. Now, you said their spread is what the original spread is for that game?
The Oregon, or wait,
the Bama Alabama game for Indiana?
I thought it was 7. Indiana at -7.
If it's 7, I would say Alabama covers that. I don't think they win outright, but I think they will cover 7.
All right. Man, I don't know why. I just...
Hey, you know there's going to be one of those games where you're like, that really happened? And to me, that one game that you'd be shaking your head at, and people are going to call me crazy, is the next game we're about to talk about. Or I think Ole Miss could actually do it against Georgia.
Okay, yeah, that's the night game Thursday on New Year's Day. Third-ranked Georgia, sixth-ranked Ole Miss in the Sugar Bowl. Right now, they got the dogs as 6.5-point favorites. I took Georgia money line
on this game
to fit my parlay. I don't know. I don't necessarily. I mean, Ole Miss, yes. But I think they looked really good in their first round game. I don't disagree. But I think that some people are kind of getting rose-colored glasses a little bit because, yeah, they won by 30, but they won by 30 against Tulane. You know, a Tulane team that they actually beat by 35 earlier in the season.
A Tulane team that already knew their head coach was leaving, who was already preparing to go to Florida with his offensive coordinator and everybody else pretty much from that staff.
Yeah. This team's already lost to Georgia once this year. That is their lone loss. They lost to Georgia by 8. Georgia gets better this time of year. And Ole Miss doesn't have their head coach.
Ole Miss actually was leading that game for most of the game against Georgia in Athens, and then they blew it. The reason I think Ole Miss actually could win this game, crazy enough, is I think even though it was Tulane last week, Logan, I think it showed that Lane Kiffin isn't the one calling the plays and making the plays for Lane Kiffin when he's the offensive coordinator. I think it's... I'm blanking on his name, but the OC that came back to call the Ole Miss games that's going to LSU, I think that's the guy that's calling the plays, and I think that's why it's so big that he's there coaching them. If they didn't have their OC, I would say, oh, yeah, Georgia's going to win this. But I love Trinidad. I've seen Trinidad play in person when I was at UCM when Ferris State came to town. The dude can ball. And listen, I know how Kewan Lacy is because he was at Mizzou last year. I know. Crazy enough, you could have Kewan Lacy and Hardy at Mizzou this year if they stayed, but Lacy is a stud. He's the third best running back this year in college football. It's the problem I'm having with their defense, though. Can their defense make stops in crucial times? Because they didn't do it last time against Georgia, and you know Georgia's going to know what's coming at them this time. You've played them twice. The reason I pick Ole Miss that could win this game, I'm not saying they will, I think they cover the spread, is it's hard to beat the same team twice. It is what it is. It's hard to beat the same team twice. We'll see what happens. I think Georgia wins by 4. I'm thinking it's going to be 31-27 final score.
Okay. So you have Ole Miss covering, but yes, you still have Georgia winning the football game. So you've got a pretty cut and dry, a pretty narrow thought of whoever the favorite is in the game wins the game. You've got Ohio State, Indiana.
I will take Texas Tech. I have
You have Texas Tech over Oregon?
I do, but I have on my parlay, I have them +7.5, but I think they will win. I just didn't have the balls to put money on it, so yeah.
Okay, all right. So you got Texas Tech at +7.5?
I did.
That line has shifted dramatically.
That was an alternate spread I got.
Okay.
Alternate spread for that one.
Okay. Because that game has shifted dramatically. Oregon's a 2.5-point favorite.
When I got it, Oregon was, I believe, +3.5. So I just moved it up a little bit to get +7.5.
Gotcha.
I think if I'm picking with my mind, not my heart. Heart, not my mind. And I want to see Texas Tech win.
Okay. So Texas Tech, Georgia. So you've got 1 through 4 winning.
Yes.
Okay.
And you have a little bit of mix up with Alabama.
I've got the big upset with Alabama beating Indiana, and then what is technically seeding wise an upset, Oregon over Texas Tech, but Oregon's actually a 2.5-point
favorite.
Who do you
actually have winning it all? Is it Ohio State?
I have a team going, Jordan 96-97, back to back.
Back to back. Who do you have them facing?
I have Ohio State, who is, they're what, the two seed?
They are the two.
I look at them playing Oregon. I've got Ohio State, Oregon.
That can happen. Yes, that can happen. Okay.
Yeah, because the winner of the 4-5 game, Texas Tech, Oregon, will play the winner of 1-seed Indiana, 9-seed Alabama. So Ohio State will play the winner of Georgia, Ole Miss if they beat Miami. And so that's, I look at Ohio State winning against Miami and then beating Georgia.
Okay.
To get to the national championship game. Oregon and Alabama playing in the other semifinal game. Oregon wins that game.
Okay.
And it's Ohio State, Oregon in the national championship.
So two versus five. Okay.
Correct.
I would have, my national championship is 1-3. So Indiana versus Georgia. And I have Kurt Cinetti raising the national championship. I know it's cut and dry, but I think Kurt Cinetti he's a stud. Just remember, you got to Google him.
My father might actually burst into flames if that happens.
He hates Indiana?
It doesn't hate Indiana. He hates that Indiana's good.
Oh, right? Okay.
As a lifelong Iowan and a lifelong Iowa fan, a lifelong Big Ten fan, seeing Indiana be good at football has all of us Big Ten, like, makes us want to control, alt, delete, reboot, like, our entire brain. Like, I feel like neurons aren't firing correctly. Something strange is happening, okay? We are, Stranger Things reference, living in the upside down a little bit right now, okay? It's not supposed to happen. This team has the second most losses of any team in college football history.
And now they're on the verge of, well, they're not on the verge yet, but they're in the college football playoffs.
At least. Now they're the number one team in the country in a 12-team playoff
setting. And haven't lost a game.
They're the Big Ten champions. It doesn't make any sense.
And could have the number one overall draft pick.
Yeah, in Fernando Mendoza.
Yeah.
Not to mention this report that came out earlier this week that apparently, like, back in, like, the spring, Mark Cuban, billionaire, former owner of the Dallas Mavericks.
Dallas Mavericks, yeah.
He was also an Indiana grad. Donated hundreds of millions of dollars to Indiana athletics.
Okay. Hey, remember, Crumbles on BYU's side, though. Crumble Cookie saved BYU from losing their coach.
And meanwhile, my Hawkeyes have farmers. We have corn. And Ashton Kutcher.
Ashton Kutcher. Hey, and guess what? Northwestern's got Chip Kelly.
Yeah, we'll talk about that more. Somebody in the text line just said, ew, go clones.
My buddies are...
Whatever. How's Matt Campbell doing? Ha!
Ooh, wow. You know this. My buddy is an Iowa State fan, but...
Poor guy.
Is an Iowa Hawkeyes basketball fan because of Ben McCollum, because he went to... Because
he went to Northwest?
Yeah. So he's like... So when the Iowa State Iowa game happened a couple weeks ago, he said he just sat there with a gray shirt on because he didn't know how to chew.
A little bit torn at the seam, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
He was just happy. It was a really close game. He was worried it was going to be a blowout.
So. Thankfully, I get the best of both worlds. I'm a Northwest grad who worked with Mac for several years.
You
and
got
covered
both
the
best
team,
right?
And I've been an Iowa fan my entire life.
Except your basketball team or football team just can't win. It's okay.
We can win. Buddy, not only did I take Iowa at +5.5 tomorrow, I took Iowa money line tomorrow. Vanderbilt.
Oh, God. That's bold.
Eli Stowers isn't playing.
Okay, but is Diego Pavia?
Yeah.
Remember, he said, you know what about the voters? F them.
Does it look like I care?
I know. You don't.
Let's see Diego Pavia do it against a top 10 defense in college football.
Hey, I'll give you a good comparison. Missouri football is like Iowa football, except a bad special teams team. That was what Missouri was this year.
Yeah. For a long time, it was Iowa had great defense but no offense, and Mizzou had great offense but no defense.
Yeah.
Now this year, Mizzou has great defense but no offense.
You know how bad their offense was this year? You're going to laugh at this. Missouri averaged 150 passing yards in the SEC, dead last. Tennessee averaged 320.
Mm.
Yeah. Go Mizzou offense.
Hey, man.
Well, at least we have Hardy. Maybe.
It's true.
He was not happy in that bowl game. God, no. I wouldn't have been either. Good Lord. I'm glad he signed that contract before the bowl game.
Facts. Facts. 913-586-7965 is our number. We'll get into our trash of the day coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, as well as the Chiefs red half hour coming up at 11:30. Stick around. It's Cody and Gold. Logan Weber filling in for the guys alongside JT Noah here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.